Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some fun.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday.
Episode 131 of Weird. I'm Craig.
We are so close to 200. I can taste it.
I bet you can. Hey, you know that guy that talked at the beginning, Randall?
Yeah, Randall.
He's the nicest guy.
Randall is the coolest.
I've never heard him say an ill word about anyone.
No, he
always says the nicest things about us. Every week, too.
He says something nice about us every week.
Yeah.
I was just talking to him, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Right before we sat down to record.
He was probably just going on about how great everybody he knows.
Absolutely.
How nice everybody was.
Speaking of that, we're back at Lee Berry Studio.
We really are. I'm excited.
It's the first time in months we've recorded here.
You know what I've really missed here?
Front Drama was just, she was all about...
I know, and
she
I've missed those little cheese balls that are rolled up in the nuts, you know, and then you cut them with that little Triscuit or whatever.
Yes,
those are nice.
They are.
I like those.
So,
and then the little
so
fruity
good.
Drinks up front.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. But you know what? They're a little lacking on parking.
Yes.
Other than that.
Yeah, yeah, we do know about that, don't we? Go ahead, keep rubbing it in because I didn't get my reserve spot.
Somebody is in Craig's spot, and mine was wide open, so I pulled in and I waited. I set my car waiting for Craig
to
drive by.
I had to walk in the cold for like 20 seconds to get to the
door. Good times. Good times here at the Lee Berry Studios.
But hey,
yes.
You got stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do. You know, it's the holiday season. Kids are going to be home, out of school for a bit.
Yep.
And what better entertainment than educational, good, wholesome,
right,
fun, and funny entertainment?
And something very Christmas-themed, like spiders.
Eating your face.
Yeah.
Yes, like that.
I feel like we should have talked about this a couple months ago.
So we've got these spiders will eat your face, we've talked about.
We have.
For a year
we've
now.
We've warned people for like a year now about
yeah, watch out, spiders will eat your face.
Eat your face.
But now they've introduced the animal saga, which is...
Saga.
Yes.
Don't you
yes,
mean saga?
Saga, which is...
You have the same problem with the word saga that I had with bonafide.
Bonafide?
I want to say bonafide. You want to say saga.
He's a suitor. Anyway... Spiders Will Eat Your Face is one of three documentaries you get. In the saga. You get Spiders Will Eat Your Face, as I said. You get Hamsters, The History. And you get Goldfish Bowl, Death by Glass.
Which is a documentary about every goldfish I've ever had.
Yeah. And they're all three well done. And you can get them on Amazon.com. Or you can go to Big Weasel, Lil Weasel. Dot club.
That's Big Weasel, L-I-L, weasel.club. That's Big Weasel, L-I-L, weasel.club.
And tell him you heard about it here on Weird. You know, normally we read reviews right now, too.
We don't have any.
No fresh reviews. We need...
Did you say no French reviews? I do not know where the reviews are. I cannot help you.
Clé boom boom.
I have no idea whether... This is a good show.
I say fresh. Fresh review.
Easy for you to say.
I can't speak. I'm exhausted again. Anyway, if you haven't left us a review, please
or
do so.
Or if you haven't left us.
Please do so on your favorite podcast app, iTunes, whatever. Whatever it is.
Google. The Googles.
iHeartRadio, which
yeah.
we are on iHeartRadio
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we are. TuneIn.
TuneIn app, we're on there. You can find Weird just about,
or
just
you
about
can, anywhere. Or you can just go to Weird News I'm doing it now. WeirdNewsPodcast.com.
Yes. And if you do that while you're there, you may as well leave us a voicemail because we've got that
could,
little button.
You could click a button and do a voicemail thing if you wanted to. Yeah.
So talk to the dudes that are weird.
Weird, the
that was my Ernest Angley.
Hey,
voice.
You know what?
What?
We should probably get to that top story.
You got top story, and I got top story.
Top story.
You sounded derelict. What was that?
I get excited with top story.
Oh, did you see it?
They made her put out her cigarette. She then threatened to kill everyone on the plane.
Oh, man, this is somebody I want to be traveling with.
Southwest Airlines said it all started with a cigarette. A passenger was smoking in the bathroom somewhere between Portland and Sacramento on Saturday, according to the airline, and had gone so far as to tamper with the smoke detector.
This
isn't news.
That's a federal offense.
This happens all the time. So,
yeah,
a flight attendant barged in on the woman, according to KOIN6.
Coin.
Yeah, Coin6. This at least got her out of the bathroom, but it did little else. I started to say little elves.
It's the season.
To improve the situation on flight 2943.
I like smiling. Smiling's my favorite.
The woman ripped an oxygen mask out of the ceiling as crew forced her back to her seat, the station reported. And indeed, a mask appears to dangle in the plane aisle as seen in the video of the ensuing tirade.
The plane aisle. There's a fancy aisle, and then there's just the plane aisle. Fancy aisle is, you know, first class.
Right, right. And then she was heard yelling, "I have a destination for myself."
Don't we all?
As a passenger behind her looks up from his tablet and stares, she is wearing a hat, sunglasses, and overcoat, and collecting her belongings as if to disembark the midair flight.
I'm out of here.
I swear, if you don't land, the woman says, as a flight attendant blocks her from the aisle, I will kill everyone on this plane.
Oh, my gosh.
You will not, the attendant said. You will not.
I will.
A scuffle in the aisle ends the video. The man who took it told CBS 13 that the woman had to be restrained by passengers and crew for the next half hour. Meanwhile, the airline...
Get off me!
I will not. I will not get off of you. Meanwhile, the airline said pilots called in an emergency and landed in Sacramento somehow more or less on schedule. Well, they're just good at what they do.
Yeah. They're professionals.
And if you just go straight down, like, fever pitch instead of, like, at a...
Yeah.
You know, sheriff's deputies were waiting at the airport. They arrested Valerie Curbelo, 24.
No.
That age range right there.
Yep.
On a felony charge of making a death threat.
Yes.
And jailed her on a $75,000 bail. Here's the thing. How stupid do you have to be? If you're going to go threaten to kill people, do it in a mall or something. I mean, it's still going to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
But an airplane's like one of those. You do not.
You don't do anything up in the air. It's crazy. Even tampering, I'm surprised they didn't tag tampering on with that. Tampering with these.
Well, they probably did. Eventually, they'll get to it. CBS 13 sent a reporter to the jail to the new guy.
go
to the jail. To get her side of the story, it didn't clarify matters much. Why did you decide to smoke in the bathroom?
They wouldn't let me smoke in my seat.
The reporter, true. The reporter asked Curbelo. That's what they say you were doing. You know what? We're just going to keep going with it.
Just do it. Just roll.
You know what?
You know what? We don't make mistakes. We make happy accidents.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. So we're going to back up here. See, we're trying this new thing here where we just let it go.
Yeah, we just let it go.
We don't even worry now. We don't try to polish this. You get it the way we get it.
That's right.
Which is painfully and slow for 30, 35,
40 minutes. Yeah, I wanted everybody to experience what I experience when I'm talking with Craig.
Exact what?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you decide to smoke in the bathroom? The reporter asked Curbelo. That's what they say you were doing.
The anxiety,
Curbelo said.
She sounds like,
yeah, the anxiety.
My precious.
Yeah.
My cigarette.
You were saying some pretty threatening things, the reporter continued, like you were going to kill everyone on the plane.
What a story. People nowadays.
Mine.
Let's go to, shall we go to North Korea?
No, we shall not.
Why don't you make us a Kim Jong-un theme song? I mean, you did so good with the, I'm not going to play the whole thing, because, well, I probably just did, as
probably
short
did.
As it is.
Right, because unlike you, I live under the standards of short and sweet on themes.
But see, I like to,
not an hour and a half.
I like to stretch it out so we could talk over it. It's an ambiance. It's audio ambiance.
It's a nuisance. There's a
audio ambiance. That'd be a good name for a band.
It's a distraction.
No, I disagree. Anyway, headline is North Korea's newest claim, Kim Jong-un can control the weather.
Kim Jong-un!
You know, they think he's a god. Some do. And some think he's a demon.
He does look Buddha-ish. Buddha-ish? Buddha-ish.
Have you seen him deliver a speech by any chance?
I hope I haven't.
Because today, when I was doing research for the show, I was going to pull some audio of him talking and just play a clip of it. It's terrible. He's the worst. He holds the speech in front of him. I guess they don't have teleprompters.
You can't talk with a mouthful of food either.
And he's talking like this.
Who's going to say anything to him?
Exactly. And they stand up and they just applaud until he says enough. They keep applauding until he says enough. It's crazy. Anyway, here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up, I'm sorry, North Korea has
You really should just abandon that on the front end because it wasn't getting any better.
North Korea has made incredulous claims about the powers of leader Kim Jong-un and his family. Now it's boasted the greatest jet, he can control the weather. You know, they said the same thing about George W. Bush after New Orleans.
That's true.
They said he could control the weather. Maybe it's a world leader.
I say we blast him into the atmosphere like a satellite and see
he'll
if
be
he
part of the weather.
See if he can be see if he can control it then.
It's raining. It's raining. After releasing images
if I remember the words I'd sing, but I can't remember.
After
Hallelujah,
that's it.
It's raining.
After releasing images this weekend of a Smiling Kim on top of Mount Picatu.
That'd be another good name for a band, Smiling Kims.
An active volcano. That would be a good name. I'd buy that.
We need to start writing these down. We've had a lot of good
names. We should.
I heard a good one the other day. Somebody said to me, Rancid Slug.
Well, Rancid's already a band.
No, Rancid Slug.
You can't do that. That'd be like naming a band REO Speedwagon Buick. You know, can't do that. Yeah, because there's already a Rancid.
Why would somebody name a band REO Speedwagon anything?
Because the greatest rock band in the history of music.
Says the guy who shows up at the studio usually with a Ramones shirt on. Never see an REO Speedwagon shirt.
Oh, I do love the Ramones.
I never see an REO Speedwagon.
The Ramones.
Where are your REO shirts?
They're
where?
Actually, you want to know the truth?
Eaten
they're
by
vacuum
moths.
Sealed in a bag. I've got one
you
that's
bought,
autographed.
You bought that. You bought that as seen on TV. You hook your vacuum.
Absolutely.
Your
back just for my REO shirts. I got a Flowbee too. I'm just kidding. I don't.
And
have
what's
a
really sad is one day when you die, they'll say, "Who wants these?"
Yeah, they will put them
and,
on eBay,
and nobody will raise their hand.
One of them signed by Gary Richrath. You can't get that anymore.
No,
you cannot.
He's
get
not
that
signing
anymore.
Anything anymore.
May
God
rest
his
peace.
Soul.
So, back to the story.
Back to what you were talking about.
The evidence for this weather modification that they say Kim Jong-un can do. When Kim ascended to the top of a 9,000-foot mountain.
What is he, Moses?
His hair turned white. 9,000-foot mountain through thick snow wearing his signature double-breasted winter coat. You ever notice he climbed like the tallest mountain in North Korea one time, they claimed. And there's a photo of him in dress shoes standing on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no helicopter anywhere near, I'm sure. So anyway, when Kim ascended to
helicopter, get picture, you dead.
I kill you in a helicopter.
How hard would it be for somebody to push him down the mountain?
Oh, it shouldn't be too hard. A blizzard gave way.
Get a running start.
To fine weather unprecedented. So it was snowing like crazy as he was climbing this mountain in his double-breasted suit.
So he's responsible for it.
And then when they got the top, beautiful weather happened.
Wow. I'm sure there's no atmospheric changes between 0 feet and 9,000 feet.
Right, exactly. So anyway, Kim was apparently responsible for this moment of sunshine on what should have been, according to a North Korean government statement, a dreary winter day. So now they call the weather, and Kim makes the weather.
You know what I'm going to do? I just decided. If I'm ever in front of a firing squad in North Korea,
yeah.
Last thing I'm going to scream is, you get a girl name.
Kim.
Yeah, Kim.
Hey, I know a guy named Kim.
I know. I'm not. No disrespect.
That's a gender bender name.
Yeah. No offense to other Kims, but
you know
it would be funny to say to him.
That is a gender bender name, but it leans very heavily on the feminine side.
Yeah.
Because you see a lot of, you know, like Joey. You see girl Joeys and guy Joeys.
That's kind of leaning masculine
Charlie,
side.
Charlie. Charlie. Yeah.
That's Charlene, though.
Well.
Joey could be Josephine or something.
Yeah. Or Joey or Joseph.
What's Kim? Kimberly.
Yeah,
or in his case, maybe.
What is the male version of Kim?
I don't know.
Kimato? Domo arigato? Mr. Kimato?
Kimono?
No, that'd be no.
That'd be Japanese, maybe.
Something.
We don't know. Somebody in Hong Kong, our one listener, could tell us all about this.
According to this account, Kim's trek also
only because
put
they're
in
the general area.
In a nuclear frame of mind.
What'd you call it?
Imposingly standing on Jungung Peak, the respected Supreme Leader gave a familiar look at the dizzy cliffs of the sea and trees, recalling the emotionally charged days when he realized the great historic cause of completing the state nuclear force without yielding even a moment and without the something of
Wow, you're having a hard time with that. Was
so
it hard?
Anyway,
do you think it was really hard for him to stand that long in front of a green screen?
Absolutely.
Stand right in front of that green screen. We got picture.
By look of him, he doesn't stand much at all.
No.
He sits. That's
and
it.
We should probably make a disclaimer here. We're not body shaming anybody except him because he's
are body shaming Kim.
We're body shaming him because he's an evil dictator. That's yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Yeah. He's a mean guy.
He is a mean guy.
Buddy Bob Mann. He buddy Buddy Bob Mann.
You don't make him angry. And he reads like this.
You don't
in front of him. He doesn't look up. He's like
you
reading.
And you don't like him when he's hangry. And he's always hangry.
He is, yes. Even after a huge, huge meal.
Wow. Got nowhere to go from there. Was that it? You didn't finish it.
No, that's it. That's it. That's all
you
I got.
You talk about Ebola and all that stuff.
I don't care about Ebola. He controls that too. Okay, the end.
Whatever. Guess what?
What?
I pity the headline. Getaway car ran out of gas after robbery, two arrested.
Well, we've had this story recently. Again, people, if you're going to if you're going to break the law, just get some gas. Remember the last one we had, they had robbed a gas station.
I know.
And they ran out of gas.
You just can't find a good criminal.
Oh, you cannot.
Hey, you know what? This happened in Stone
Mountain. Millennials.
This happened in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
That's close to home.
That place freaks me out.
Why?
It's like this giant rock. It's like a huge rock.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's like God took a rock and just threw it. It's just lying there, but it's like huge.
It's a big rock.
It's a huge rock.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like a mountain, but you can see it from all, like, you see the entire thing.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts.
It's freaky.
Yeah.
Anyway, it happened in Stone Mountain. Has nothing to do, that has nothing
Georgia.
To do with Georgia. Thanks. Thanks for that, whatever that was.
Georgia.
If Ray decides to come back again, let us know. We'll have him sing in the next segment. Hey, police say a getaway car ran out of gas after an armed robbery near Atlanta. Who steals arms? I don't do it.
Unarmed, one-armed people.
Oh, people that need arms.
Yeah.
Leading to the, ready?
Yeah.
Speedy arrest of two suspects. What? Nothing.
Thank you. Twist.
Gwinnett County Police Corporal, or is it Corporal? CPL? Is that Corporal?
Yeah, it's Corporal.
Michelle, why are we talking to the Corporal? Can we have the Chief? Can we have somebody? Can we have like the, is there like a four-star general down there?
Somebody he didn't
can
talk to the press.
Michelle Pajara.
She.
Michelle Pajara says 18-year-old Najee Logan. Okay, this is in Georgia. I refuse to believe these names are true. 18-year-old Najee Logan and 21-year-old Justin Larry.
Justin
I believe
Larry.
He's from Stone Mountain.
Yeah, Justin Larry. That sounds like somebody's nickname.
Yeah, Justin Larry.
Justin Larry.
They were charged with armed robbery after their arrest early Tuesday after officers found the car on empty. Pajara's statement, that's the corporal, statement said the victim surrendered a wallet to two men at gunpoint in a grocery store parking lot about 1 a.m. Tuesday in the greater Atlanta suburb.
Ugh.
Police say officers found the car about 15 minutes later with Logan and Larry inside.
Logan and Larry. I got all their albums.
I know. It sounds like sounds like they should be a team. They should have a podcast, The Logan and Larry Show.
Logan and Larry.
Both
listen.
Men, both men were jailed. And police didn't say if they have lawyers. We're not going
to
tell you.
Nope.
Pajara says it's fortunate the victim wasn't hurt, chalking up the arrest to what she called poor planning by the suspects.
This brings up to mind the five P's, Craig. Prior planning prevents poor performance. You remember the five P's? You're going to rob.
I don't want to remember those.
If you ever try to break the law, remember, prior planning prevents poor performance.
I've heard you've got to think of like 200 ways it could go wrong before you're going to be successful.
Maybe.
I've heard some, like you got to have a huge,
huge
number of things that could go wrong before you can be confident that it would actually work.
A robbery?
Yeah, or any kind of crime. You'd have to have like, I forget how many ways you've got to figure out first that could go wrong before your odds are actually.
What about the guy that jumped out of the airplane? What's his name?
D.B. Cooper.
Yeah, D.B. Cooper. What about him? Never found him.
No,
or have they?
He might have been the exception.
Have you seen the documentary? They think they found him?
No, I need to find out.
It's good. It's good. Because he's still alive.
They brought him into one of my, well, first two seasons. It was one of my favorite shows, Prison Break. Just the first two seasons. I tell everybody, if you're going to watch Prison Break.
I haven't seen it.
If you're going to watch Prison Break, watch the first two seasons and stop.
Somebody at work was telling me how good that show is.
The first two seasons. And the first two seasons are full circle. They're great. They end,
okay.
They're like bookends.
So you get an end.
Yeah, you're fine watching the first two seasons.
Okay.
If you really love the show and want more, watch the other ones, but you've been warned.
Okay.
But they bring in a D.B. Cooper
character. Kind of like Lost.
I never watched it.
Well, you can watch like the first two seasons.
Okay, and then that's where I stop.
Yeah.
So they bring in there's a D.B. Cooper character in prison with them, and it's D.B. Cooper.
That's cool.
They've incorporated into this story. Yeah, I highly recommend the first two seasons.
All right, I'll check it out.
Prison Break.
But in the meantime.
Let's get past this.
We got a headline.
Let's get to the next thing.
Headline is snowball fight canceled. You know why? Due to snow.
Well, that'll ruin it.
Snowball fight that was billed as the largest in the world was canceled Saturday because of the snow. Six Flags Great Adventures in Ocean County, New Jersey had planned a snow day on Saturday, but instead the park closed as the region experienced the first snowfall of the year.
This kind of begs the question, what were they going to use for snowballs?
Well, actually, I know the answer to that. They
toilet
had
paper rolls?
These little soft snowballs that they were going to use.
Oh, because the poor snowflakes
exactly.
That are going to be there are going to get hurt.
Ocean County was under a winter storm warning until 6 a.m. Sunday. Up to 6 inches of snow was forecast. As part of the snow day, the theme park was planning to break the world record for the largest snowball fight. I have a problem with that. If they had broken the record and got in the Guinness Book of Records, I would have called foul because those aren't real snowballs. That's a fake snowball fight.
You would have called them and they would have said, good day, sir.
I said good day.
It is our book. We put in what we want, and you can say nothing more about it. I say good day.
Good day.
So I'm a little put off that Atlanta, you know, they're around Georgia, Louisiana, all these people, Alabama, they all got snow.
Florida.
We got nothing.
We have a story about the snow in Florida.
Nothing.
Coming up.
Nothing. Nothing.
Actually, we had some flurries. You can't say nothing.
What you talking about, headline? Man cements microwave to head.
It's another one you can stop right there.
That's all you need to know. An internet prankster had to be freed by firefighters after cementing his head inside a microwave oven. Film at 11.
Please, I got to see it.
West Midlands Fire Service said it took an hour to free the man after they were called to a house in Ford Houses, Wolverhampton. This has to be in England, right? Wolverhampton.
I guess.
Anytime you get
I hope it's not America.
You ever notice anytime you get multiple syllable words for towns that don't really fit together?
Ford Houses.
Yeah, Ford Houses. Wolverhampton. You notice that these, usually it's England or somewhere.
Wolverhampton,
is what I'm noticing.
Yes.
They're words that you have to go through all these syllables, and they don't really flow.
No, they don't.
They really.
Ford Houses, Wolverhampton, that's a mouthful right there.
It is. Yeah. And we're talking English food, so it's not even a mouthful of anything good. Oh, I'm sorry, England. I just say it out loud. I'm sorry, England. I'm sorry. Back to beans and toast for you. Friends had managed.
Biscuits. Don't forget biscuits.
Fish and chips.
They always have biscuits.
I think biscuits.
Their biscuits are cookies.
They're cookies.
That's no good.
And our biscuits are biscuits.
Yeah, and our cookies are cookies.
But I hear their little newspaper wrapped up fish and chips things you buy are good.
They have a nice bowl of tea.
Well, that's all they drink.
Don't forget to have the tea.
Well, that's not all they drink.
No.
But the Irish are picking up for them when they slack off.
Yeah.
I'm on today. Have you noticed that?
I've noticed that.
What's
wrong
with me?
It makes for a good episode.
So, anywho.
Anyway.
Wolverhampton. Friends had managed to feed an air tube into the 22-year-old's mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
To help him breathe, the service said. Watch Commander Sean Dakin said the man could quite easily have suffocated. Or I've been seriously injured.
What if it was one of his buddies that plugged the thing in? Hey, hothead!
Pow! Mr. Dakin said he had a group of friends and had mixed seven. Oh boy, I can't even talk. I'm so flustered by the boy. Try that again. He had a group of friends and mixed seven bags of polyfiller.
Polyfiller.
Which, is it party filler?
No.
Polyfiller, which they then poured around his head, which was protected by a plastic bag inside a microwave.
Idiots.
How's your head protected with a plastic bag on it?
Hopefully that's where the straw was coming out of the plastic bag.
Oh, man. The oven was being used as a mold and wasn't plugged in. The mixture quickly set hard, and by the time we were cold, they had already been trying to free him for an hour and a half.
I can't wait to see this video.
Crews from the technical rescue team helped with taking the microwave apart, he added.
Ooh.
It took us nearly an hour to free him, said Mr. Dakin. All of the groups involved were very apologetic, but this is a very clear, this was clearly a call-out. Which might have prevented us from helping someone else in genuine accidental need. Here's the deal.
Go ahead.
He was in need.
He was.
He's in need of, first of all, a brain.
He said, after this bottle of tea, I'm going to do a prank, okay? I'm going to do a prank on myself, right? I'm going to cement my head inside. Hear me.
Well, how does that go from knocking down a few pints with your mates to,
hey, let's cement my head in a microwave.
You see that microwave over there? I bet I could fill it with cement and put my head in it.
This is the kind of story I live for. As well as this one. Headline is, residents living near an airport claim planes are raining poo on their homes.
I don't want to live there.
This would be a good spot for the feces surprise, the fecal surprise button.
Oh, the one that we had that you took away?
Yeah, I don't have it anymore. We upgraded our soundboard and lost some things, you know.
Well, you know what's funny about that?
I could put it back on there.
You could put it back on.
I could, yes. I just keep forgetting. Feces found on the ground near Dali Airport will now be tested, and there will be spot inspections of aircraft to make sure toilet tanks were not emptied while landing.
They're going to do brown spot.
Residents who live near the Delhi airport claim that human poo has been raining on them from planes flying overhead. I thought they had like precautions against this. Like there's only certain spots the toilet will release.
Shouldn't that be at the airport into some kind of a holding tank?
Yeah, you would think so. Last Friday, the country's environmental court, the National Green Tribunal,
asked
a special committee to investigate the claims. Nope. Don't want to be part of that committee. Nope. I'm not investigating those claims or planes.
Hey, we're going to have to see the evidence.
According to the India Times, the committee...
Oh, sorry. Well, we got to see the evidence.
That's better. The committees will be tasked with collecting samples and sending them for tests to find out whether it is human poo or bird poo. What kind of bird would drop... big bird, man. It is Big Bird.
Did you even read the very first line above the headline?
I did not.
It's raining cats and logs.
I should have read that.
Oh, man, you're the worst.
The court has also asked for spot inspections of aircraft landing at the airport to ensure that their toilet tanks are not emptied while landing. The investigation came after multiple complaints from residents. Last year, the same neighborhood made several complaints about aircraft seeping sewage
mid-air. Did you say aircraft?
I did. Delhi isn't the only airport to have these complaints. Earlier this year, a woman who lives below the flight path of a Salt Lake International Airport in Utah claimed her driveway has been the target of fallen human feces many times. In 2014, a woman from Auckland, New Zealand, also claimed that her two-story home...
They're not parrots. What are you talking to them like they're going to...
Well, Kiwis kind of look like parrots. Well, not really.
No, I meant the New Zealanders aren't parrots.
Yeah,
you're talking to them like they're an animal.
Yeah, Kiwi want a cracker?
You want a cracker?
Kiwi want a cracker? A biscuit? Okay, silver car were covered in splotches of excrement dumped from a passing plane to overnight. Let's go back, because they're going to test it to see if it's human or bird. I do really have a vision of Big Bird from Sesame Street.
Here's
flying.
My question. Why, why are you spending the money on this?
I'm not spending any money
You're
on
not.
It.
Why are they spending the money?
It's I don't know.
Either way, it's poop on the ground.
Patrick Smith, an airline.
Poop on the ground, poop on the ground. Looking like a fool with the poop on the ground.
A airline pilot says that there's no way to intentionally drop poo from the toilet tanks of a plane in midair.
There's always a way.
Patrick told Sun Online Travel, there is no way to intentionally discharge the content of the toilets.
Did he use the word discharge?
He did. Or the waste tanks of any commercial aircraft. There's no such controls anywhere in the cockpit or cabin. The only way this could happen would be through some malfunction or perhaps an improperly secured waste access
panel. So there is a way.
So you're saying there's a way.
There's a way. Wow. I don't know how you follow that.
How do you?
I don't know. Headline is...
No, you can't do that. What in the world? That's a foul.
Headline says.
Okay.
Go ahead. Woman, one day we'll come up with something.
No, you'll come up. I came up with headline is. You come up with something.
Pity the headline?
Yeah, that's good. That works.
No, it's not really good. Quit playing with that. That's expensive. Stop. He's messing with his microphone and he is not qualified. Stop.
My bands were loose.
Woman parks in Northport Chiefs spot. Caught with weed. We just had a story about this.
We had the exact same story, but it was two guys last time.
What are these idiots pulling up to a police department?
Why are they parking in the chief's spot? Big chief.
He's their dealer?
I don't think so.
It was a scene, Northport Police Chief Bill Rica said right out of one of those 1970s Cheech and Chong movies.
70s? I thought those were
80s. Think like Up in Smoke. I think it was right around the turn of the 70s, 80s, but I don't know. I don't watch those movies.
Well, I did.
On Monday evening, Rica said Ariel Bonici, 26, of Huntington, drove her 2001 Jeep to Northport Village Justice Court to answer a summons she'd been issued on May 11th for unlawful possession of marijuana. As so Bonici...
She was going to answer a summons for marijuana?
Right. Well, she thought she needed to bring some to in case they had any questions.
Is this what you were talking about?
This stuff right here. As Bonici of Virginia Avenue pulled into the parking lot on Main Street, used by the Village Police Department and the Village Court, she cut off officers in an unmarked police car while talking on her cell phone.
Oh, my gosh. She's stacking up counts.
Then, as the officers watch, Bonici parked her Jeep in his parking spot, he said. Yes, the parking spot in the lot reserved for the police chief. The spot, he said, with the sign that reads, police vehicles only. To be fair, it does not say the police chief's spot. It says police vehicles only.
Yeah, it just turned out to be where the chief normally parks. Yeah.
Seeing this, he said his officers got out of their vehicle, approached Bonici's Jeep, and asked her to roll down the window.
They said, hey, Bonici.
When she did, it was like Cheech and Chong, all the smoke coming out of the car. Or I'd say Fast Times.
She said, was I going too fast?
Yeah, am I still going too fast? How are you guys keeping up with me? Rica said Tuesday, referring to the counterculture comedy duo Richard Cheech Marin and Tommy Chong, that smoke turned out to be a cloud of marijuana, Rica said. Yes, it was marijuana, he said. Well, we had to say it twice.
Marijuana. Marijuana.
Hey, you got the French story.
Oui, oui. Hey, Lionese. French naked restaurant opens.
I don't want to go to that restaurant.
Collet boom boom,
that's not
Craig.
What it says.
Paris now has its very own nude restaurant for anyone willing to dine in the buff.
Aren't there health
issues? That's disgusting.
Aren't there health issues?
I don't think you could do that here in the States.
Do you think maybe there's like a little piece of paper on the chair?
It gotta be. The establishment is not Europe's first. In the summer of 2016, London's Bondi pop-up opened to an uninspiring degree of hype. Reviews were mixed. And in January this year, a nude restaurant arrived in Tenerife.
I don't even know if you said that right.
The founder was inspired by London's naturist dining. Now Paris, perhaps the most suitable of the three locations, given France's openness and willingness to these things, says, oh, natural. Calais Boom Boom, Craig. The brainchild.
Quit saying that one and only thing you know.
Calais Boom Boom. The brainchild of businessman Mike and Stephanie Sada. Mike and Stephanie over in France opening up naked restaurants. Neither Mike nor Stephanie are nudists themselves. Instead,
they just want to look at people coming naked.
The former insurance salesman saw an opportunity, and hey, why not?
He's thinking, there may be some bad that comes in, but there's going to be a lot of good that comes in. That's what he's hoping.
He's thinking with his wallet.
He's thinking.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, because he's not a naturist.
No, he's not. Oh, Natural is open for dinner only, and reservations are required. I'd have reservations going to a place like that myself. Diners are warned beforehand that the restaurant is a restaurant and not somewhere to try to, you know, meet people. It's billed as an evening locale for the more free-flowing among us. Discreet lakes are too cold in the winter. People only get to be nudist in the summer, said Stephanie. Unlike the Bondi.
How about they only get to be nudist in their bathroom?
Or at home.
Or at home when they're getting dressed.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where I'm a nudist, in the bathroom.
Please don't put that on anybody.
Unlike the Bondi, which is heavily themed, Au Naturel's decor is minimalist. They didn't want to spend any money.
I'm pretty sure it's called Bugnati, but you keep calling it the Bondi.
Cares?
You're calling it like it's a car, the Bondi.
I drive a Bondi. The menu is classically French with items such as lobster and snails and parsley cream
sauce. You weren't
going
to try to say that other word, were you?
Foie gras. Well, Calais Boom Boom. You can get Calais Boom Boom for dessert if you want. Hey, this is the story I was telling you about.
Here's mine.
In Florida, I went dessert.
Welcome to Florida, sign covered in snow.
I remember seeing a story on the local news when I was a kid about the first time it snowed in Florida for some people. There was like teenagers running in the street that had never seen snow.
Freaking out.
And I was like, oh, man, I see snow. I'm lucky.
Well, we don't see. We see it. We don't see as much as we used to.
No, not much.
Thanks to you.
Not, it's not my fault. It's Kim Jong-un.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he can come over here. He can make it snow.
He's taking our snow away.
Visitors to the Sunshine State got a winter's greeting when the Welcome to Florida sign was seen blanketed in snow. The image of the snowy welcome sign was shared by news website somebody. The state, as well as I shouldn't have to say their name. You know what? Get their own podcast.
That's right.
The state, as well as much of the Deep South, was hit by uncharacteristic cold over the weekend, which dropped flurries and left people without power in some states. Temperatures throughout Florida dipped to the 40s. Oh, cry me a river. With some parts getting to freezing Sunday night.
We've been freezing here every night for the past week.
It's pretty cold.
It's nice.
Thousands were without power in Georgia and the Carolinas. Hundreds of flights were delayed or canceled over the weekend. Power was restored and airports were back on schedule Sunday. Temperatures throughout the South were on a warming trend Monday, but stay tuned. 15 minutes, it'll probably change.
And Kim Jong-un may have something
to
say about it. Headline is, heavily armed man screams at police saying Trump ordered him to fight lizard people.
You know, he did not say to do that.
He did not. A Washington State man recently stopped his Jeep Cherokee in the middle of a busy intersection. He then proceeded to get out of his vehicle and start waving his old AK-47 around.
Had it on him.
At the lizard people. Are there a lot of lizard people in Washington State?
You look like lizards.
The reason he was so concerned about the lizard people, you ask? Donald Trump told him to fight them. Well, not really, but that's what the man's excuse was, and he's sticking to it.
For all we know, his neighbor's a crazy guy named Donald Trump.
Could be. Apparently, the guy was feeling a bit chubby and thought it would be a good idea to snort some meth to lose a little weight. Who wrote this story? It's like a joke's built in, but they're not any good.
I don't know.
The meth affected way more than his energy levels. That mixed with his prescription morphine turned him into a street Alex Jones impersonator.
Oh, no.
What's with these? These are terrible jokes. I feel like people are going to blame you and I for these, or you and me.
We're going to get blamed for enough already.
Yeah, we are.
We don't need to get blamed for this.
So anyway, according to a statement by the sheriff's department, the man immediately laid on the ground and started to scream about sending in the news and about the lizard people as part
Stop for one second.
Okay.
If this man does not take care of the lizard people, I ask you.
Who will?
Who will?
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
I say let him go. Let him go.
Let it go.
Let it snow. After the guy was tasered and then handcuffed, he started explaining to the officers about the lizard people. The man went on to describe how President Trump had called his house in Eatonville and warned him that the lizard people were coming and that the Alpha Dragon had already taken his family hostage.
Stinking Alpha Dragon.
That Alpha Dragon takes everybody, the Sheriff's Department said.
They said he takes everybody?
Yes,
that's what the Sheriff's Department said?
Okay. He said he stopped in the intersection because he was surrounded by the lizard people and needed to fight them as directed by the president. He said he was screaming and making a scene in the intersection in order to attract the news vans so his story could be documented for history.
I'm gonna call something on this.
What are you gonna call?
I don't think it was meth or morphine. I think it was bath salts.
It does sound bath saltish. Speaking of bath salts, before you go on to this next incredibly weird story, Randy Travis's famous video was released last week. You see it?
No. Poor guy's barely functional.
I know, and for some reason they decided
What's the video? I don't know about this.
Oh, when he got naked and went into the store stark naked after wrecking his Trans Am. He had been drinking.
I don't think I want to see that.
No, I don't either, but they say you'll have a whole new view of Randy Travis.
I feel sorry for the guy because he's in bad shape.
He is in bad shape.
And who amongst us has not stripped down and gotten on bath salts or something and gone into a store and went
demanded
crazy.
Cigarettes with no way to pay him?
It's honestly, where are you going to carry the money?
Anyway, don't watch that video. It's just, well, I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
Why'd you bring it up?
Because bath salts. When it first happened, I thought, Randy's gotten into some bath salts. But apparently they say it was just his prescription medication mixed with the alcohol.
His prescription bath salts.
Yeah.
This next headline's mine. Dog steals woman's car and makes it to the highway.
No way. I don't believe this. Highway, no way.
This sounds pretty rough. Don't bark at me. Murraysville, PA. Route 22, a very busy stretch of the highway located outside of Pittsburgh, PA. Also known as Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
Well, I just like to say PA because it sounds cool.
Pa. I call it Pa.
No, that's not cool.
Speaking of Pa, hey, Pops.
Yeah. Keep on listening.
Rolling.
So, just around 3:30 p.m., Kathy Lowry had pulled into a local business to step inside quickly. Her best friend and fur baby, as she described him, Sammy, waited in the running car, waiting for his opportunity. I added that, but it made it more interesting, didn't it? Kathy said she grabbed a few things and headed to pay for them. I looked outside, and my car was not there, she said. I freaked out, she explained. Moments later, another patron had come into the store, and Kathy soon found where her car was. The man said that she saw the car leaving the lot and appeared to him that the German Shepherd was driving and had called police.
They are smart dogs.
I've never seen nothing like that before. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Dale Plan Man. He's the man with the plan.
Plan Man, Stan.
I'm not sure how he got the car into gear or how he was steering, he claimed. How Sammy was able to get the car was later explained by police. The business sits on a bit of an incline, so if he was able to get the car into gear, gravity would do the rest. How the dog knew how to steer the car is beyond what any of us can explain, said police officer Richard Fry.
They're smart dogs. German Shepherds are highly intelligent.
These days, nothing seems to be unusual. Maybe he learned online.
That's hilarious.
That's actually the guy that said that, but yeah. I just love her voice. Hilarious. I love to hear her talk. Sammy, a 2-year-old German Shepherd, is no stranger to bad behavior, Kathy told us. He ate my door, and now he stole my car and wrecked it, but I still love him, even if he's the most expensive dog I have ever owned.
Oh, I've got an expensive dog at my house.
That was an emotional moment, and then you go into your dog that eats everything.
Yes.
The 2014 Dodge Dart was not badly damaged, any worse than it was when they built it, but it was damaged when Sammy went in front of the other vehicle. Actually, I was kind of – the car itself I don't care about.
I love
the name.
Yeah.
I've always loved the name. It happened so fast I didn't even know it was a dog, said Dave Winters of Plum. Plum what?
Plum giddy.
Winters, plum dumbfounded that dog was driving a car. Winters, the other driver involved in the accident, was not injured. I'm just glad everyone's okay, Winters tells us.
Winters.
Sammy was able to escape without a scratch, unlike Kathy's car, which will need some repairs. He's going to need to be in timeout for some time.
The
she
dog
says.
Does not deserve timeout. He just jumped over.
He deserves an award.
Yes, he deserves a TV show or something. Headline is holiday season headline coming at you, Craig. Police looking for a naughty Santa. Bangor police are on the lookout for a bad Santa who handed out candy canes to children in a local department store. In a roundup, this is funny. You got to pay attention because this guy says something hilarious. In a roundup of quirky police news posted Thursday morning on the department's Facebook page, Lieutenant Tim Cotton wrote, "The most bizarre story of the week involved a complaint about a Santa who handed out candy to a young girl as she was walking through a store with her mother. The mother thought nothing of the incident at first," Cotton wrote, "but became perplexed and disturbed when she ran into Santa again and he told her, 'Good girls get candy, naughty girls get jewelry.'" The woman immediately went to the management to report that their Santa was a bad one. A veritable Satan-like Saint Nick, Cotton wrote.
Managers are like, "I thought we cut the budget on the Santa."
Cotton said the store had not hired the Santa and could not find him in the store because he was able to slip through the ladies' apparel small appliances as quickly. That's hilarious.
As a what? Say it.
As quickly as prune-filled cookies go through flying reindeer. Cotton said police have no leads about the man's identity or his intentions, but would like to speak with him.
Wow.
That's hilarious to me. So this guy, he wasn't a department store Santa. He was just some guy dressed up as Santa and went into a store and gave out candy and made comments to...
You know, I want to laugh about the Santa thing, but I'm reading the next headline, and yeah. It just makes me sad. It was, if technology would have just come along 2,000 years sooner, this person would have been saved.
Yeah, the doctor said, "We're sorry, sad you had cancer." He said, "How long do I have?" Yeah. They said, "Minus 2,000 years."
Sad headline is...
Sad.
Ancient mummy gets CT scan after 2,000 years, is diagnosed with cancer. Modern medicine can be truly amazing thing.
Well, who cares?
Yeah, really.
What's the deal?
Mummy, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. You might want to lie down. Oh, you're already lying down.
Take that face off your face. Wait.
Here's the thing. It's not looking good.
You had cancer.
I'm going to be honest with you, too. If someone hadn't stuffed your body full of herbs, probably would have pulled you out of this. But all the crap they've got you in, I don't think we're going to be able to do anything for you. You're right over there?
Yes. I'm trying to figure out why. Who cares?
Modern medicine can be a truly amazing thing, extending and in some sometimes outright saving the lives of people who would otherwise meet untimely ends. For one man who lived some 2,000 years ago, doctors arrived many centuries too late, but he still got a bill.
Yeah. No,
but his remains have gotten plenty of attention from medical experts anyway. Sure, they don't pay attention to the guy that needs him now. They're going to pay attention to this guy.
Yeah, really.
The man's body, long mummified and found in an Egyptian tomb, was recently given a full CT scan at Krauss Hospital in Syracuse. Well, it's in Syracuse, New York. Crazy Syracuse.
Syracusians. Sounds like an alien of some sort.
That sounds like a disease. Hope they can cure it before 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Let's see. In hopes of shining some light on how the individual died, remarkably, doctors were able to diagnose the long-dead man. Well, he's really long. Really
and he's
tall,
dead.
Really
yeah.
tall. Dead, who had been nicknamed Hen.
Hen?
Maybe because he clucked a
lot. Should
it
be Rooster?
Yeah, maybe Rooster. And explain, I don't know, did you see Stargate?
No.
And explain the circumstances of his demise. As it turns out, he fell victim to an ailment that still plagues us today, cancer. Never mind the big hole in the back of his head. He had a tumor on his fibula, which is one of the two bones of the lower leg. Dr. Mark Levinson of Krauss Hospital.
Levinson.
Look at it. I said look at it. It had all the characteristics of a malignant tumor and one that's somewhat rare. So here we have a rare circumstance of a rare tumor that evoked our interest a lot. In a spot of good news.
Oh, really?
No one was cursed by opening the guy's tomb. The scanning and diagnosis was donated by the hospital, so at least the 2,000-year-old hen doesn't have to worry about being stuck with a bill in the afterlife.
Really?
Well, how hard was it to figure out the guy had a tumor? He had some big...
It's not a tumor.
Man.
That's weird. Man.
Awkwardly talking over.
We got an Australian story coming up here.
Well, that was just, wow, way to just fade that out quietly.
Headline is, Australian town plans 150th anniversary. for the incorrect year, Craig.
Wow.
Plant down under. They need to get the math down under, right, mate?
Yeah.
Plans to celebrate.
18.30.
Plans to celebrate 150th anniversary of an Australian town have hit a hurdle after local authorities found they were 3 years too late. The town of Charleville in Queensland had begun.
Here's an example, okay?
Yeah.
Australia, they call it Queensland, right?
Yeah.
If it was England, it'd be like Queenslandville.
Yeah, that's true.
Queensland town. Queensland.
Can I go
Queensland.
Ahead? Can what? I go ahead?
No.
Okay. They were had begun.
Queenslandton. They had be Queenslandton.
Begun planning festivities for the next year to mark what locals believe was its official recognition of 1868.
.00.
However, a check of state records showed the historic moment had actually taken place in 1865.
This is something you could look at before you did
you
this,
could,
right?
You could
probably
should.
Go find, do,
you
your, do
this
some
out.
Research.
Go to the library. You know, we got a local library. It's
yeah,
a
we
nice
do.
One, too.
Very nice.
Mayor Annie Liston said it was a big disappointment. We put so much budget towards it, and then we found out it was gone, right? That's not a budget.
That's not a budget.
It was the biggest shock of all of us, I can tell you, she told the BBC. She talks like a man. We were all prepared to have this big shindig next year, and the date wasn't even correct, mate.
Can I ask our Australian friends, does anyone in Australia really use the term shindig? That seems like that would be an American
thing. Well, she did, and this is news.
I just don't believe it. I think she's been watching the telly too much.
She said local historians had provided conflicting data in the past, and some records were lost in a flood. Charleville resident Lori Parker told ABC or Australia's ABC, There's other things that we've been concentrating on here, like we've been wanting to get the rain to prevent the drought and to pick up the economy and things
Kim
like
Jong
that.
Un.
But certainly, these sort of birthdays are important to celebrate. That's not a birthday. The town of about 3,300 people will make alternate plans. We're still planning on having some sort of celebration next year. I mean, we got the beer already, right?
Yeah,
we got to celebrate something.
We got the shrimp on it, Bobby.
Yeah, it's got the shrimp down under. The event staff
the
are currently
down under.
Trying to organize what we got a blooming onion the size of Australia
yeah,
itself
onion.
Over here.
Hey, mate.
Mayor Liston said.
Bob's your uncle. It's the Mark Patch Top 10 List.
Oh, it's a good one,
It's
too.
The Top 10 Christmas Comedies from Heavy.com.
You know, I agree with a lot of these, but the order is mixed up, and some of them I've never seen.
Let's just try to go with are they good or bad.
Okay.
Let's kind of forget the – because already I'm going to disagree with number 10 should be at the bottom. Number 10 should be number 1.
It should be number 1. You and I agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 10, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
How that hit the number 10 spot –
because it's, honestly, look at the next one. Number 9, Arthur Christmas.
That's a cartoon that I've not only never heard of, but never seen either.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Number 8, I disagree with, The Santa Claus. I didn't think it was that funny.
I thought it was funny.
I didn't like it.
I liked it. Number 7, we both like.
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle.
Oh, I do.
Wow. Okay.
Just completely
no, that's
stolen.
Fine. No, that apparently should... I'm just here to help. I don't really.
That one should be number 2.
It's a good movie.
Well, number 1.
I'm not going to argue that. I mean, it's just, it is a good movie.
If you put Christmas Vacation on one channel, Jingle All the Way on the other. At this point in my life, I think I would watch Jingle All the Way. I'm kind of burned out.
Between which ones?
Christmas Vacation.
Oh, no, I've already watched it once and a half already.
I'm kind of burned out on it.
Love it. I'm going to go to the next one.
Go ahead.
You took it. Number 6, The Grinch.
Yeah, that one had some funny lines.
That burned me. I love watching Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
are they talking about The Grinch?
Jim Carrey's
The Jim Carrey
one. Yes.
Yeah, it's good, and I like Ron Howard a lot. I like his work, and I don't think I can sit through it again.
Number 5 would be number 4 on my list.
I love
Scrooged.
I love the Bill Murray movie.
Yes, it would be number 4.
In fact, I got to watch that soon.
Number 3 on my list is exact same as number 3 on this list. We'll get to it
okay,
in a minute.
Number 4?
Yeah.
I've never watched, even though
it's good.
I'm a huge fan, but
yeah,
I've never watched it.
It's very good.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
That one's a good one. Number 3, Elf. And that would be number
great
3
movie.
On my list.
Now, number 2 technically is not a Christmas
I knew you were
movie.
You're going to say that.
It's not a Christmas, but I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass because it does have a very touching Christmas theme.
Yes,
scene.
It does.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Home Alone's not a Christmas movie, but it does have a very poignant.
Ah, poignant.
It's got a very pregnant.
Are you fat or poignant?
It's poignant. It's got a very nice section. You know, he's at home by himself at Christmas.
Yeah.
The man next door.
Good
and
stuff.
The nativity scene.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of give him a pass on that. But technically, just for the record,
yeah,
Home Alone's not a Christmas movie.
And the number 1 funniest Christmas comedy,
still
best Christmas
great.
Comedy. This one would be number 5 on my list, A Christmas Story, which is a good movie. But I'm burnt out on it,
Randy
too.
Randy laid there like a slug.
All right, 131 comes to an end, Craig.
It's time for 132. Just wait around a couple days.
Yeah, come back in three or four days. We'll have number 132 ready for you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your Friday if you're listening to this on the day it comes out.
And last I checked, we've gotten no Christmas presents from around the world.
None. Nothing.
Maybe we haven't given them an address.
Not even a box of biscuits.
Just send it care of Leeberry Studios.
Yeah, we'll get it.
But somehow. I don't know how.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
We'll see you next time.
See you.
On episode 132.
Bye.
Take care.
Whatever. Last word.
I got it. I'll see y'all.
Bye.
Seriously, the song's over.
Right,
I gotta go.
Bye. See ya.
Bye. You don't miss it.
Sheboygan. Later. Bye.
Peace
don't
out.
Say anything. Bye. You hang up first.
Mark Patch rocks.
No, you hang up first. No, I'm gonna hang. No, you hang up. Merry Christmas.